Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Co-Sleeping. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana. And today we're going to be tackling judgment, criticism, and mom shaming,
which is definitely a heavy topic. We had Carly on a couple weeks ago and we talked about mom friendships. We did a lot of posting on Instagram, just kind of like open-ended questions. Hey, tell me about, you know, the friendships in your life, your mom friends. And we were actually met with a lot of negativity, not obviously directed at us, but a lot of moms saying that they don't have a lot of close people in their corner and they've always really just been met with a lot of mom shaming and judgment when they try to make friends.
And shame can be defined as a painful feeling or experience of believing that we're flawed and something we've done or failed to do makes us unworthy. So you can imagine that in the realm of motherhood, this happens a lot. It happens when people criticize a mother for making parenting choices that differ from their own. For example, if you don't breastfeed your child, you're doing it wrong because I breastfed my child and I know that's what's best. So that's just one example of the many ways in which mom shaming exists in our experience.
And I know we talked so much about mom guilt too in a previous episode. I'm just thinking, you know, we all have guilt about, you know, random things, things that we know truly don't matter. You know, if you have somebody on the other end, whether it be a spouse or a friend telling you like, you know, those things aren't true, like you're doing great, or just kind of like really lifting you up, it kind of washes a little bit of that mom guilt away. But if you have somebody on the opposite end who is almost putting like a seal of approval on that mom guilt, like, oh, I'm really questioning if formula feeding's right for me and my baby. And then you have a mom telling you like, well, you have to breastfeed because that's what I did, and shaming you. It's like, cool, you just validated my guilt. And the things that I'm worried about now have the seal of approval from somebody who doesn't matter.
So let's talk about a few of the times in which we have actually been victims of mom shamings ourselves in our motherhood journeys. I know, Amanda, you've been a mom twice as long as I have.
So I actually, I know right before we hit record, you know, we were talking a bit about this. I've heard like little comments before from people like, oh, you're still breastfeeding, or oh, don't let her sleep in your bed, she'll sleep forever. Which for me, I'm like, that kind of stuff just really rubs off of me pretty quickly. But a couple months ago, our closest friend at the time, we are no longer friends, commented on parenting choices and said something like, oh, well, you have to check with Kennedy because she rules that home. The next time we saw that friend, I pulled them aside and I was like, hey, like that kind of stuff's not cool. You know, kids are really off limits. I made my boundary really clear. You know, I made it very clear to this person, like, don't comment on our parenting. The person apologized, you know, was saying, you know, I'm so sorry, I never meant to hurt you, I love you guys, gave us a hug, and we moved forward. Then knowing our boundary, my husband and I spoke, and, you know, my husband knew I was upset, and he's like, well, this shouldn't happen again. Like, we made our boundaries very clear to them. Well, we know how that works. People show you why you need boundaries because they don't like to listen to them. And a few weeks later, this person made a comment to my husband about my mental health in regards of whether or not we should have more children due to my mental health. My husband told me about that later. You know, we then called them out on it, so to speak, and it ended the friendship because the conversation did not go well. It was really just a reminder to us of why we need boundaries. And I think when people disrespect your boundaries, they're kind of the reason you need them in the first place.
We talked about that situation quite a bit. And in things I've shared with you, a lot of the times what I have to remind myself of is that when people are habitually bringing things up that are hurtful or that we see as hurtful and they're not respecting boundaries, in a lot of instances, it can actually be quite a bit of projection going on. I try to sort of take a step back, not take as much offense. And absolutely, if setting the boundary doesn't work, cutting people out is sometimes necessary, or like extremely limiting contact is sometimes necessary. That's something I've had to do as well. One of the earliest examples I have of experiencing mom shaming is my son was born via emergency C-section. I actually had to supplement in the beginning of our breastfeeding journey because of the fact that my milk didn't come in for 6 days after my C-section. So I was breastfeeding and I was producing a bit of colostrum, but he needed more sustenance than that. So we started formula feeding him in the hospital from the night he was born. I had to continue that while I built my supply up in the beginning of our journey. And I remember hearing comments about it from particular people in my then husband's family. And it was really difficult for me because I had already had a pretty extreme birth experience. I was trying really hard. I mean, anyone that breastfeeds knows that in the beginning, it's an endeavor. It's like a whole journey in and of itself, figuring that all out. So I was working overtime just trying to get my supply up after an emergency C-section, trying to heal. And so hearing that commentary for me and seeing the looks when I pulled out a bottle of formula was really complicated. And you're dealing with so many other factors when you become a new mom, that the last thing you want is to feel some kind of judgment or negativity coming towards you when all you want is what's best for your child. So it can be really disheartening when you notice that someone isn't quite seeing that.
I always just think to myself too, when people make these comments about, you know, silly and ridiculous things, I'm always like, it's 2022. Are we really still arguing over how we're feeding our babies? Like, this is where we are, or where our babies are sleeping, or the decisions that we make. Again, we bring it up, I feel like, every episode, but social media can be so toxic in this way, because like when I'm scrolling on TikTok and people are posting videos of their children or their experiences, it's not hard to find a negative comment, especially about people that we don't even know. And it's like, why are we even wasting our time and energy commenting and bringing this person down? I hope that a lot of those big influencers and stuff don't read all of their comments, because a lot of the times there is a lot of negative ones. I know I wanted to ask, would you say the whole like formula versus breastfeeding debate, I would say, is that the silliest thing that you've been judged for? Is there something that someone has said that was just so ridiculous you couldn't even like fathom what they were saying?
One thing that I have gotten feedback on or looks for several times is in the very beginning, and even now, actually, I don't force Aiden to wear socks or shoes. I mean, I didn't even own like infant socks and shoes. Like, he lived in onesies, and when it got hot out, he was like barefoot and half naked most of the time. And he loved it. He loved being free. He loved being in like his little onesie, and that's it. Even when we'd go out, I mean, he wasn't walking. He was either in a carrier, I want to say in a stroller, but he was not a fan of the stroller until about a year and a half. He was literally strapped to my chest for the first like 15 months of his life. So no, he didn't wear socks. No, he didn't wear shoes. As much as I wanted to be the mom that had him in like a cute coordinated outfit every single time we went out, he just didn't like it. It just like, it wasn't a good time for him. So he lived in like onesies. And I did receive either feedback or looks for having him so lightly clothed. And the no shoes, no socks thing was like a big point of contention for a lot of boomers, I have to say.
Sometimes I wonder too, you just saying boomers, sometimes I do think a lot of it is a generation thing. I feel like people younger than me never comment. And I am actually like a friends with a lot of people who are younger than me. A lot of them like don't comment on anything I do. They're like, yeah, that's awesome. Like whatever works for you. I love that. Like so-and-so did that. I saw a video on that. But then like people a lot older than me are like, huh, what are you doing? Like, oh, do you see that on some mom blog? And it's like, actually, I did. Okay. I'm trying to think of the silliest thing. I feel like there's been so much. I would say my most common is definitely the fact that I breastfeed an almost 4-year-old. That's the most common thing that I get shamed or judged for. And I'd say the silliest thing, I wrote out this question. I'm having a hard time thinking about it. Oh, I would say probably not putting her in daycare. That is something that I feel like a lot of people have had a lot of comments on, or like what I'm going to do when she gets older, because I only have her as of now. So it's like, what are you going to do? Even just the other day at the grocery store, someone's like, well, what are you going to do when she goes to school? And I'm like, well, I want more children, but like the guy kept, you know, checking me on a giant has no idea what my life's just held the last 6 months. I mean, I don't know. I could go back to work. Like I do have a lucrative career and a degree that I could use to its full potential. So definitely the fact that I've chosen to only work 2 days a week and have Kennedy with a nanny rather than working full time and put her in daycare. And I've a lot of people have said too, like, well, how is she going to get socialized? Or they learn so much at daycare.
That's funny. That's actually something I've heard a lot of too, is why isn't Aiden in like playgroups and daycare? And why aren't you putting him in some kind of a structured, scheduled care outside of the home situation? I've gotten a lot of that from family members, from a couple of friends, and the argument is always like, they need it. They can't learn how to socialize without it, which is not true, but that is a different conversation. So yeah, it's funny. I feel like as mothers, we receive judgment for almost any and every decision we make. My friends who dove right back into work or had to go right back to work right after giving birth receive judgment. Those of us who have become stay-at-home parents, either temporarily or full-time, and do not plan to return to work, also receive a lot of judgment. Breastfeeding mothers, if you breastfeed a day past the age of one, you're going to receive judgment. Formula feeding mothers, you're going to receive judgment. Going out with friends, you're going to receive judgment. not seeing friends that much and not, you know, implementing self-care by doing so, you're going to receive judgment. So I do feel like mothers bear the brunt of the shame and the incoming judgment.
And I've gotten to the point too, and it took a little bit. This wasn't like right off the bat with like the judgment and the shaming. I've definitely gotten to a point where it's like people are going to judge no matter what I do, whether I have this Instagram worthy life, whether I expose all of, you know, our flaws, so to speak, and I'm riddled with mom guilt, people are going to judge. People are going to have their comments. People are going to talk shit no matter what. So I'm just going to do me. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. They can talk badly about that and they can judge that, because at least I know at my core that I'm doing what feels best. And I've also found too that the older my daughter has gotten and the more confidence I've built in our decisions to breastfeed, to co-sleep, those comments not only are getting less from other people because, you know, confidence radiates, but also when they say those things, it kind of rolls off of me. I don't really care as much. And I think once you set a boundary with somebody that you're close to and other people see that, a lot of other people respect that because they're like, oh, okay, they're willing to hold that person to the boundary and hold that person accountable for their actions and for their words. That's not somebody that I can cross. And I find once you have to do that a couple times, as difficult as it is, I think a lot of other people respect that and see that.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that definitely sets the tone for future possible conversations or experiences with other people. And having firm boundaries in place, I mean, we've talked about this throughout the season. It can be one of the tougher things to do, not only in motherhood, but just in our lives, especially with those closest to us. I find it easier to do with people that I don't have such a great emotional investment in because I'm not as tied to the reaction. So I definitely agree with that. To be quite honest, I think we're all guilty of judging others to some degree. I don't think anyone would be honest if they said, like, I've never judged another person, another parent for any reason, any point in time. So that's something that I'm trying to be more cognizant of since becoming a mom, is before I was a mom, oh, hell, I had judgments about things that I had no business even having an opinion on. And I can admit that now. Like, I think back on some of the things that I thought and I'm like, girl, who are you? Who were you to think any of that stuff? You didn't even have kids. And even now, like, I found myself, I've never shamed someone and I never would. But thoughts have rolled through my mind. I've definitely had opinions that are less than favorable about some of the parenting choices people have made in my presence. But I think to a degree, it's normal to notice that we have those thoughts. It's what we do with them that matters. And I would never shame another mother or pass like open judgment and make someone feel uncomfortable in my presence. And that's where I think it's important to navigate what are deal breakers for you. You know, I don't want to make anyone feel badly, and I don't want to embark on a new friendship or continue a friendship where I might be making someone not feel great about their choices. So there are topics in certain friendships where they're just off limits. They're just things that a friend and I do not speak about because we have very different opinions, and that's okay. And if someone's parenting choices so far differ from your own to a point where you can't quite see eye to eye and the friendship there is distance that's created, I think that's okay too. I think that's a more unpopular opinion. A lot of what I see and a lot of what I hear is like, don't let those things sever a friendship. But there is such thing as severe and serious triggers for a person. I have some serious triggers as an individual, and I just can't be putting myself in situations where those triggers are being awoken on a regular basis. So distance has unfortunately happened in certain friendships, and it's had to for my own mental health. Yes, okay, we should be understanding of others, and we're not all going to make the same choices. But we also need to recognize that it's okay if something does affect a friendship, and if that means protecting yourself and feeling better in the long run, then okay, maybe the friendship changes. Maybe it's altered. Maybe you're not as close as you used to be. But if that ultimately protects who you are as a person and who you are as a mother, I do think that's okay.
I'm glad I just had my mic on mute, because the whole time you were just saying that, I'm like, yes, yes to everything. So much to add to that and say back to that. I think now I'm learning my triggers, because I've actually cut out quite a few people over the past year. And I remember saying to one of my other friends, like, am I the problem? Like, is something, tell me what's wrong with me. And she's like, no, like these, you know, people are crossing boundaries. So obviously, you know, like mental health and my daughter are two huge triggers for me, because it's things that I've struggled with. I think it's also important to what you mentioned about judging other people, because you're right. We can't sit here and do an episode on mom shaming and try to act like we've never, you know, had thoughts or said things before. And even just last night, I saw something on Facebook from a friend that's not something I agree with. And, you know, I showed my husband and he's like, oh, and we were kind of like both looked at each other. And my husband was actually the one who was like, oh, to each their own, not my child. And that's kind of like my husband's answer for everything. And I've been trying to, like, when I think of things like, oh, like maybe I wouldn't do it that way, I try to have his voice inside my head being like, that's not your child. You don't, you know, you do it that way for Kennedy, or you don't have to do it that way for Kennedy. That's fine that you can be friends with people and you can have different opinions. I definitely have things in friendships that I don't talk about because I don't want to be judged. Not that I feel like I have a lot of like hot take opinions, but I guess there are some things that I do that are definitely different from the norm. And I feel like knowing your audience, like I'm not going to go at work to my coworkers who I'm friends with and start some like big debate on something. But I've had friends that politically we saw very, very differently and we kind of knew that. And that was just something we didn't talk about. It had nothing to do with being moms. We're both moms, but we knew that our opinions on that and like current topics of the world were very different. But this friend didn't always respect that and still brought it up. And I was like, you know, this is going to end in an argument. And I think that you can have, you know, debates and healthy conversations with people, but you can't attack somebody else for their opinion, which, you know, we've all been attacked for our opinions before.
I think one of my biggest tips that I personally try to follow, I mentioned a bit earlier in the episode, is before reacting or before letting something really like infiltrate my system and wreck my day, I always try to remind myself that when someone tries to shame you, or even if they're not trying, even if they're just shaming you and not realizing it, that has a lot more to do with them than it has to do with you. It completely has everything to do with them and it has nothing to do with you. And when I remind myself of that and I recognize that this is a them issue, it makes it a lot easier to not allow it to affect me.
A lot of times we see just on social media and just from friends and sometimes my own personal experience, a lot of the judgment and shaming comes from the older generations, usually like in-laws or parents or grandparents. As much as we want to, like when an in-law or a grandparent says something, you want to like almost snap back really quickly and say something like, don't comment on that, or we do things this way. But sometimes, like I remember one time my mother-in-law said something about bed sharing and it wasn't a judgment, it wasn't shaming, but I immediately took it that way, that like, well, she didn't do it this way, so she's attacking me. That was not the case at all. And I actually took the time to educate her on what we were talking about. You know, I didn't patronize her, I didn't talk down to her, but actually tell her, hey, this is why it's important to us. This is why we chose to do this, consciously made this decision. After that, and they're able to see that, like, oh, wow, okay. It kind of opens up that door for if they want to comment on bed sharing or co-sleeping, rather than making like a criticism, they're more likely to be like, why is that important? Or is this okay? And come from a place of learning. You know, my father-in-law has said that before and he was like, wow, we did things way differently when we had kids. You know, he said for some things like, you know, I'm glad you guys have done things differently. And then on the opposite end, there's been things that it's like, oh, that's not going to work because of this. And just telling them, you know, hey, this is why it does work for us, and giving that. I'm so reactive sometimes, like I'm the worst at it. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, always sit down and have a thoughtful conversation. I'm very sharp with my words and I'm pretty quick. So it's easy to say a quick comment back, but I try to, let me explain. Let's talk about it.
We've mentioned generationally, there can be quite a bit of a difference in opinion on a lot of things, but I also think family members have a certain level of like buy-in when it comes to our parenthood. There is that sort of like, hey, well, this is my grandson or this is my nephew, so I kind of can say something. There's that feeling. And to some degree, I get it, you know? So opening the door for a conversation, if you can, if you have that in you, is always better than just resorting to the worst case scenario, which is like snapping back or shutting down or just internalizing. The worst thing you can do is internalize that shame and just like live with it and sit with it and let it eat away at you, because we don't have time for that as moms. We all know that. Like, we don't have time for any more stress than we already are under in so many situations.
No, because your mom shaming is going to feed your mom guilt and the guilt's going to feed the shaming. I know we want to talk about some tips for preventing mom shaming, but before we move on, as we're talking about like the older generation and doing things differently, when my nieces were babies, so they're what, 5 and 7 now, so 5 years ago, my grandmother was 85. I will never forget my my sister was getting ready to nurse, and she asked my sister, do you have to drink a lot of milk in order to produce a lot of milk? My sister just looked at her and was like, what? What are you asking me? And she's like, to make a lot of breast milk for your body to make the milk for her, do you have to drink a lot of like whole milk? Me and my sister just busted out laughing, but it just shows you right there the gap there, the generational gap that my sweet, dear 85-year-old grandmother thought that if you drink more whole milk, more cow's milk, you will produce more breast milk. When like, and my sister explained to her like, oh, like you should be drinking more water, more like, so I could drink more milk. I don't drink whole milk. And she's like, you don't drink dairy milk? How are you producing milk? And then there was another instance where the baby fell asleep and she's like, oh, just put her on my bed. And like my grandparents had like that old school bed that's like 8 feet off the floor. My sister's like, I can't do that. She's a baby. She could roll right off. And my grandmother's like, eh, I would have done it. But like just showing there that 60-year age gap. I mean, my grandmother raised 3 healthy children who are, you know, alive and great. It's just so funny because I talked to her, you know, she's 90 now, bless her soul. And like the things that she tells me, I'm like, there's such a generational age gap here. And I explain things and we learn from one another. And it's like, I wish I could pull a little bit of that, you know, the way that she does, maybe not necessarily the way that she does things, but like her attitude and, you know, personality. I don't know. I thought it was so funny because I'm like, I know we're really quick to like call them out, and I don't even know what she is. I think she's whatever is older than a boomer because she's 90, but shit, sometimes I just don't know, man. Sometimes I really just don't know.
Exactly. I have way more forgiveness for grandparents.
We could do a whole episode just reading some of the stuff my grandmother has said to me.
Quotes from grandma.
I was trying to pitch their life a long time ago to one of the like networks because I would watch them. They're hilarious. I'm Googling now what the generation is. Oh, wow. She's the silent generation? I didn't even know that was a thing.
And it sounds ironic.
Okay. Yeah, very ironic because if you have a grandparent who's 73 to 93, you know damn well they are not silent.
And Amanda mentioned, but I feel strongly about it, is that if you are confident in your parenting choice, and we've talked a lot about that inner voice, that inner feeling, that gut feeling that you have about something you're doing with your child, if it's working for you, if it's resonating with you and your family, with your child, if it is strengthening your bond with your baby or your toddler or your grown child, honestly, there's nothing anyone can or should or could be able to say that should rock that. And just remind yourself, like, this is their opinion. I don't know their story. I don't know their history. I don't know where they're coming from. And a lot of the times it doesn't even have to matter. You don't have to make space for that. If you're confident in your parenting, I think it does make it a lot easier to shut out that mom shame.
That's such a great point. I know sometimes it takes a while too to get to that confidence. And I'm trying hard. Like I said earlier, I feel like as my daughter ages, I get more confidence because I feel like it's kind of like seeing the result, not necessarily the end result because she's 3, but when you work really hard for something and you see it pay off, like I see her growing up and turning into a really awesome kid. And I know my husband and I did that. Like we didn't do everything for this human to be, you know, perfect, but I'm like, wow, she really is like a good kid and she's going to be a good person because of the things we've taught her and the values we've instilled in her. If somebody wants to comment on breastfeeding, I'm kind of like, okay. And I had somebody a couple weeks ago, my daughter asked for milk where we were somewhere. And I was like, oh, we'll do it when we get home. And she's usually like, yeah, we do that in bed. Like she is good now with being redirected. And he looked at me and he's in his 50s. And he's like, oh, you're still breastfeeding? And I was waiting to be like a whole thing about like, what are you going to do it till kindergarten? That's weird. Like she's almost taller than you. And I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, it still is working for us. And he was like, oh, like he was so quick to be like, I'm not saying anything. He's like, that's really great. He's like, I don't think people really understand how great it is for them. And my husband just giggled because it's so nice to see that. I do think some people, I feel like sometimes when people make comments, they're so used to being met with like a reactive person who's like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Like, get over it. I think that sometimes people, they like shut down a little bit and they're like, oh no, it's great. Like I just, good job. We're used to being almost attacked because unfortunately that's what we do to one another.
And what you're saying right now just brought something up for me. Exactly, Amanda. Like if someone has an opinion on one of your parenting choices and it completely differs from whatever it is that you're doing, they're not going to be the ones that are continuously raising your child. So let it go. Like they're not the ones at home every night, every morning, or however, whether you work or not, however you're long with your child, it's a majority of your waking time and your sleeping time. Like it's a majority of your, it's your life, your whole life. We know this. An opinion of someone else's that has absolutely no say in what happens with your child and no buy-in and is not going to be there to see them grow and to have anything to do with their upbringing. Their opinion is just that. It's an opinion. It's fleeting. It's momentary. And that's it.
And I think the big thing too is make sure that their opinion becomes like a fleeting moment and not hold on to it, because that's where the mom guilt, if you already have guilt about these things, for somebody to then shame you for it, it snowballs. Like, I don't have all the answers. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not writing any parenting books. You know, having people that you can rely on and you can talk to. Sometimes I want advice from people and I want them to almost tell me what to do. Like, what do I do in this situation? I know I've said that to my sister so many times, and I'm usually met with like, I can't make the decision for you. I can't tell you. And that's, you know, an interesting position to be in on the opposite side of it. If you have a friend who's seeking advice, it's almost like you don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to be like, well, I would do this or I wouldn't do it this way, because I don't want them to feel like I'm shaming them for the decisions they've made, or if you're offering information. And, you know, there's been times where I've had people, you know, family members reach out to me about their children not sleeping well. And of course, like, my first recommendation is like, oh, they don't like the bassinet or they don't like this. Like, just put them in bed with you. That's what we did. And somebody could internalize that and be like, you know, Amanda co-slept from day one. So because I'm not doing that and she's recommending it, you know, is she thinking differently of me? And I hope nobody's ever thought that way, because like, who the heck am I? It's hard because you want to support one another. And I think for me, I think the biggest tips for preventing mom shaming is definitely just like, flat out, don't judge one another for what we do. Right now, the world as a whole is hurting in so many different ways that really all we have is one another, especially even moms. Like, so many of us don't have support systems. We don't have a network. We don't have a village. We're forced to create all of this ourselves. So sometimes all we have is one another. So if you only have your closest friends who are your biggest supporters, and then you're judging one another, who is that person left with?
For me, a big one is not offering advice when it's not asked for. Because like you just said, Amanda, a lot of the times people can internalize that or look at it as like, well, I didn't really ask. I was just sharing with you my feeling on something. I just wanted to be supported, or for you to hold space for me and tell me that you care about me or that I'm doing a great job. I didn't necessarily want to hear all about how you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share something that I'm going through. So I don't give advice to any friends that are parents unless they specifically reach out and are like, hey, can I talk to you about something? I remember that you said you went through something similar. How did you handle this? But if I don't directly hear a question which invites me in to give an opinion or offer something that worked for me, I don't give it. It's not what that person's looking for. And I think being aware of that is really important. And then another thing is if I find myself wanting to say something when I'm not being invited in to say something, just ask myself, like, what is this comment going to do? Or where is this going to bring the conversation? Or did this person even ask to hear this? You know, like, being cognizant of what a person is looking for. And I think so much of the time, we're just looking to be heard. We're looking to be heard. We're looking to be held by another person. And like you said, Amanda, the world is hurting right now in so many ways. And everyone has things that the world doesn't even know about that we're going through. Mm-hmm. So I think compassion is huge. I think compassion is the antidote to mom shaming.
I find myself, like, one of the biggest quotes I say all the time too, I say it a lot to Kennedy, and I don't know if somebody ever told it to me, but it's like, you never know what somebody's going through. And I think that's held true. Like, I'm one of those people who, like, on the outside, like, I'm always smiling, I'm bubbly. Like, my personality doesn't change. Like, you're getting the same from me every single day. But if somebody were to, like, come at me one day and be like, oh, I'm actually having a really crummy day, like, you wouldn't know that. And I think because that's how I am, I think of that as other people. They could actually be having, like, one of the worst days of their lives, but their personality could, you know, their defense mechanism could be just to smile through it. And if I say the wrong thing or if I hurt their feelings, that could be really the comment that kind of sends them over. Like, they don't need that. And I love what you said that about not giving advice or giving advice when it's not asked. Sometimes I feel like I'm really bad at that. And I don't mean to, like, push any of my views or opinions or what I've done. I find, like, I just so badly want to, like, relate to people and let people know that I'm there for them and, like, supporting you. So that's my way of being like, oh, you know, yeah, we went through that and kind of had that relation. But I'm like, you're right. Sometimes people just want to be like, wow, that really sucks. That's really hard. I'm sorry. What you said about when you ask people for advice, that's exactly how you word it. Because you've texted me that before. It's like, hey, I know you mentioned this happened. Like, how did you get through it? What did you do? Like, word for word, that's what you said. And I think that's such a great, because it told me, like, on the other end of that, like, oh, she wants to hear what I did and what works for us. And it was invited. So I knew I could kind of almost speak freely a little bit. Like, she's asking for this. This is what she wants. I can kind of say my piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thinking back on our Instagram account now. There were a couple of comments by, I think, one or two users. And we don't get a lot of negative comments as a whole. We have a super supportive community. I love our community online, honestly, Amanda. And you know that we both feel that way. But mm-hmm. I do remember a couple of comments coming in that were pretty judgmental about the space we've created. It's kind of like anti co-sleeping. It was definitely something that I wouldn't want our followers to see, only because the whole point of our account is to normalize what it is that we're doing, because it isn't really the majority of what you see online. You see so many sleep training accounts. You see so many accounts about trying to control infant sleep and implementing different ways in which you can do that. Okay, that exists. We know that's out there. There's a ton of it. Some of those people have millions of followers. But what we're trying to do is normalize what it is that we're doing. We're not shaming or judging those that have taken a different path. We're just creating a safe space for those who haven't. As far as refraining from commenting on pages, I just don't follow, I don't check in on, I don't really spend time on things that don't align with my values. Mm-hmm. I don't get into like comment debates. I don't attack things that don't resonate with me. It doesn't make sense, and it takes away from my energy and from my peace. So, you know, if someone comes across our page and feels like, hey, this isn't for me, I think co-sleeping is like the worst thing, and okay, it doesn't have to resonate with you. Just move on.
And I hate coffee. When I see the very far and few negative comments, sometimes I delete them if they're really hateful. Other times I just leave them because I'm like, whatever. But like the joke's on the people who are commenting on these things, because you're just helping the Instagram insights and the algorithm is just going to push our content out more, especially if it's negative, because Instagram and TikTok just like to fuel the fire and they're going to push out like quote unquote controversial stuff. Jokes on everybody who's commenting. So thank you. But we're very fortunate that our little circle on the internet is very, very positive. But I think so often that when somebody does something differently than you, people think that means that you're shaming everyone who does it. It's like, just because, you know, we choose to co-sleep and we have our little corner on the internet that's promoting, you know, not even promoting, but just kind of normalizing responsiveness and, you know, doing things a bit differently than what society has deemed as normal. That doesn't mean that we are judging anybody who is following society. I'm not judging society. I'm not judging people who formula feed and did cry it out and put their kids in daycare and who have done everything opposite than I have. I'm supporting those people, and I want our page to be a safe space really for everybody. You know, I've tried with when you joined Coffee and Co-Sleeping, when we did like a bit of rebranding, that was something we talked about, that we didn't want to keep, I would say, like our audience so narrow. We want to reach, you know, so many people and have it be a space really for all moms, all walks of life. And I think we've done a really great job of doing that by having just you and I come from different paths of life. We have different journeys and sharing that. I just think it's important, just because somebody chooses to do differently than you, that doesn't mean that we're shaming others. The world is, again, just filled with so much negativity that I think we automatically think anytime somebody says anything about our child, about us, about our parenting, we go right to the negative because we've heard it so much. You know, it's very rare that somebody says something positive. A story I think kind of nice to end on, talking about sometimes we just want to be seen. I know I shared it on Instagram, but a couple months back, I was at the grocery store. We were dealing with some big emotions. I don't even know now. I blocked out from my memory. I don't even know what the deal was, what Kennedy was upset over, what caused the meltdown. I don't even know. But I'm literally like pulling my carriage, holding her, and she's screaming, telling me I'm not her favorite parent, hitting me. And I'm one of those really awkward people that like in those moments that everyone's staring at me, like I laugh at funerals. I'm one of those really awkward people. So I'm like giggling as she's hitting me. And I'm like, this kid's not going to take me seriously while I'm trying to help her through these emotions. And there's a young guy walking and he stops in front of me. And I was like, if this guy says my hands are full, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to yell at him. I'm going to do it. And he stops in front of me and he looks at me and he goes, "You're doing a great job." And I turned in the aisle and I just started crying. So me and Kennedy are both now crying. And she's looking at me and she's like, stops her, you know, big emotion. She goes, "Why are you crying?" And I was like, oh, like that guy just told me that I'm doing a really good job with you. And I really needed to hear that right now because I don't feel like I am. And she was like, "Yeah, you're doing great," and kept walking, and it was over. And I was like, oh my God, like, random guy at Giant. And he definitely had kids. Like, he was probably had kids around her age. And I was like, I went home and I told my husband that. And I was like, if you don't tell every single woman with kids at the grocery store that they're the best. And even Mike said, he's like, oh, I would worry that they thought I was like hitting on them. And I'm like, see, you can't even say something nice now because people think that it means something more. And I didn't think that from this guy. It really felt genuine and nice and what I needed to hear.
Thank you, guy at Giant. I'll just leave listeners with saying that if someone has made you feel not so great, something that also does help me feel really good is turning around and complimenting like another mom. Like, okay, someone mm-hmm. just said something shitty to me. It didn't make me feel good. I'm going to text one of my friends and tell her I think she's doing a great job. That always kind of opens up the conversation to something really beautiful and kind of feeds your soul. So
I think we need to do more of that.
It means a lot, even when especially when someone's not expecting it.
If you guys haven't already, please make sure you guys follow and subscribe. You can find us at Coffee and Co Sleeping Pod, and we'll catch you next week.